It was better in practice.
It was just great. As a matter of fact, it's been so inspiring to me that Elton is just writing songs to bring to us, two new songs that we sang today, and I'm going to encourage, this is right on the spot here, I'm going to encourage for the next newsletter, we publish the words to You Got This, so people can get the full impact of the message. Because I don't know if you caught it, but in there Elton mentioned a universe of doors to walk through. I love that. I just love that. So, yay. And thank you, Elton, and thank you, Interstate Rhyme. The first time I came to Unity of Wimberley, many, many years ago to guest speak, when I led the meditation, I heard your hearts. I heard them. It was hard for me to get all the way through the meditation and stay in my body because your energy was so strong. And your hearts were so beautifully loud. And every time that I returned to Unity of Wimberley, the same thing happened. And it got stronger and stronger. And of course, it was strong enough in December of 2017 that my heart responded in kind to come be with you. So I've been listening to your hearts for a while, and it doesn't matter what the composition of people is. Many of you were here in those early days when I spoke. Some of you are here for the first time. And there is something that happens when we come together that exponentially magnifies each one of us individually. It's why we gather in community anyway to grow spiritually. Because it's so much easier when we have the energy of many to bolster our own, to hold us up, to lift us up, to laugh with us and cry with us and encourage us. So, you know, I went through that phase in my life where I thought, it's okay, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious, I don't need a church. Because to me, those two were synonymous. Religion and church. And this spiritual community, I would say, is one of the best ones I've ever seen for you to come to enjoy your spiritual growth. And I say, enjoy your spiritual growth. Because it's not always easy, is it? There were a few knowing chuckles, and I know that you know. And I also know that we have grief support here. We have support for our children here. We have support through prayer. We have support through song, through vibration, through words, through sharing with each other. We have all kinds of ways, through the labor of our hands, to share with each other and to be with each other. So, today is the wrap-up of about 2 months that we've been studying Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. And today is the culmination of lessons on Sundays for that series. It's certainly not the culmination of the message. It's just the culmination of the series. Do you understand the distinction? Because I am never going to stop talking about spiritual growth. If that's not okay with you, you might want to think about where you are and what you're doing here. Because that's what we're doing. We're growing together spiritually. And I'm going to challenge you on a few things. Always. Because I'm challenging myself all the time. I would never ask you to engage in your spiritual growth in a way that I do not do myself. Do you understand that?
Yes.
That has to happen. I want to talk about something that's kind of difficult. There have been a couple of times that I've gotten an anonymous note stuck in my door at the end of church. And I can't embarrass any, I mean, if you're embarrassed because you wrote it, nobody's going to know it's you. But it says, why do we continue to go overtime on Sundays? Why do we continue to go overtime on Sundays? Well, we purposely don't publish that church is over at 12. We purposely don't publish that church is done at 12. We shoot for it. So whoever wrote this, I would be so happy to talk with you personally if I knew who you were. I want you to have the courage to come speak to me about any questions that you have about what this community is doing. Please. I don't think I put off a scary vibe much. And if your orientation throughout your life of churches or not churches is that you don't talk like that to the person that stands here, well, we're going to put an end to that right now. Because we want transparency here. This is what we're about. So I will answer your question. The reason we go over is because we do. I mean, we just do. Sometimes there's an extra verse to a song. Sometimes the greeting goes on too long. Sometimes we have twice as many kids that come in at the end of the service. Sometimes the meditation, I try to keep my talk to 20 minutes. Sometimes the meditation's longer because we are reading each other and it needs to be longer. Sometimes we have more announcements. So, beloved, if you need to leave at 12, please go. It's fine. It's just fine. So we shoot for 12 o'clock. We always shoot for 12 o'clock, but no guarantees. Because we're kind of fluid here. Now, the other thing that I'd like to say to you is that because you're here, and because I've heard the song of your heart, we don't do things in a way where everything is the same every Sunday, and you're going to hear the same kind of message every Sunday, and you're going to get a lesson that doesn't challenge you every Sunday. That's not who we are. What you're going to hear here every Sunday is a message that might challenge you, but it'll also give you the tools with which to meet that challenge and a supportive environment in which to do that. So daring to lead is not about leading a group of people. That when I say you go out and dare to lead in your life, that doesn't mean go round up folks to boss around. It means take a leadership role in your own life and your own spiritual growth. It means engage with others everywhere, all the time, in the way that we state our vision. We are an open-hearted spiritual community, powerfully transforming our world by honoring the sacred in all. It is not, we are an open-hearted spiritual community except when we don't want to be. Powerfully or kind of transforming our world by honoring the sacred in most. That is not our vision. So, say it with me. We are an open-hearted spiritual community, powerfully transforming our world by honoring the sacred in all. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's our value. And we're going to live out that value with impunity. You know, Unity's always been the weird church. You know, when I joined Unity back in the 80s, we were listed in all the books as a cult. Seriously. Yeah, you could go to, I don't know if you remember Old Austin, there used to be Whole Earth Books on Lamar. Man, you could look at any book there that was like traditional, more traditional things, and you could look in there and look up Unity. You could look at up books that talked about cults, and we were in there, along with Reverend Moon, and there was a little bit of Scientology in there, and Rajneesh, the one up in Oregon, you know, that did improper things a lot. So we were listed as a cult back then. And when I came to Unity in Austin, at that time the church on Del Curto had 600 to 800 people every Sunday. And it was the place that people came to that loved the Unity message and came there for all kinds of reasons, not the least of which is that they weren't accepted anywhere else. They were developmentally different. Their sexuality was different. Their color was different. Their orientation toward life was different. Their mental health was different. But they needed a safe place to come and hear the truth. And that's what they did. And for many people, it was the place where they could stand their feet there and get a solid footing underneath them so that they could go about their lives with courage and with the embrace of spiritual safety. And Unity continues to be that. Now, there are Unity churches where they will give you safe, positive thinking lessons. Nothing wrong with that. But I've heard your hearts. I've heard your hearts call out to be assisted in reaching that growing edge. And I'm happy to be in partnership with you to do that, because that's what I'm doing. So when I say dare to lead, I'm talking about all the time, everywhere, with everybody, as much as you can. So Elton's song at the beginning, how dare you? It's because we have the Spirit of God in us. That's how we dare to do it. I even wrote down some words that are, I guess, the antonym of leading. It's not just thinking about daring to lead as an abstract idea. It's not just thinking about tiptoeing into the leadership of your own life. It's daring, not tiptoeing. Now, tiptoe to lead. Approach leadership with caution. It means interacting with authenticity and courage and vulnerability and joy with other people. It's not about getting around to it someday. It's about now. It's about now. So remember the acronym, the mnemonic that Brené Brown created for this whole series is braving. Braving. I like that. She made it into a verb. I want to be braving in my life. Boundaries, reliability, accountability, being a vault, a trustworthy person, integrity, non-judgment, generosity. Those are not difficult values for us to take on. They're not always easy to execute. And we're going to have days when we mess up badly. But the good news about being daring is that we just pick ourselves up and we keep moving forward. We forgive ourselves. Do you know one of the things that we shared in class, I guess it was last week, one of the things that we shared in class is that that if we have a story that we are holding on to, or, especially those stories that we get as much energy telling it the 25th time as we did the very first time, because our subconscious doesn't know the difference between 30 years ago and today, we can still get that good old adrenaline rush of telling how we got wronged. How dare this person do this to me? We found that if we can go ahead and let go of those stories, we're going to move on into a better place. Because those stories are a weight around your ankle, holding you back. And one foot can go forward as much as it wants to, but it's not going to get very far because that other foot's holding you back. The other thing that we discovered is that our stories, where we've held shame, or where we've held our grief, or where we've held our uncertainty, when we tell them to someone else, it begins to dispel the energy around it. We can say, yes, I am a fallible, vulnerable human being. And in that lies my strength. When Jesus was talking with his disciples through those 3 years they were together, you know, he got a little irritated with them every now and then. You know, there's a thing now on social media, SMH, smack my head. And Jesus had to have smacked his head so many times with the disciples because he would teach them a lesson and they'd go, well, what does that mean? And he'd try to explain it another way and they'd go, don't quite have it yet, Jesus. And so he would say, how long do I have to put up with you guys? Literally, it says that in the scripture in one place. How long must I endure this? So he was dealing with people and teaching them revolutionary thought, to break free of an enclosed, crystallized way of thinking, and to think with the heart of truth, to live in the life of God, to have God as a companion, not some distant lawgiver. And so he said, now learn these lessons and go out and tell everybody. How do you think they felt about that particular instruction? Are you kidding me? Even Moses in the Old Testament. Moses said, oh God, I can't deliver this message to the people, because I have a speech impediment. And I don't speak well in front of other people, so thanks, but no thanks. God said, no, Moses, it's you. He went, no, I don't believe it is me, actually. He said, well, okay, I can ask your brother Aaron to do it instead. Moses said, I'm on it, I got it. Nothing like a little sibling rivalry to amp up your contact with God. So he did. Of course, we know the story. But, you know, the disciples knew that if they went out and taught the message Jesus was teaching, they might meet the same fate. They were going out into a hostile environment with revolutionary thought. They could die for it. Some of them did. And we're called to that same thing today. We're called to that same thing. Pretty much without threat of death. That's good news. We're called to go forth and be our authentic selves. And if someone asks, we say, I have a spiritual life that gives me strength. I know every single one of you sitting in here has gone through some challenge in your life that has been difficult. And when you get through it and you learn from it and your heart and your body and your mind are healed enough to move forward, someone may ask you, how did you do that? With God, by God. That's how. You know. You know. You know how you got through it. Because you had wind underneath your wings. You had angels lifting you up. You got through it because we go through it. That's what we do. So here's what I'm asking of you. I'm asking of you to be fearless. Question every decision that you make and see if it's coming from fear or if it's coming from an authentic urge. If you're making decisions based on fear, it will come right back around to bite you. Believe me, as one who stands in a spot that's very vulnerable in a leadership position, entrusted with the health of our community in partnership with you. I'm going to mess up. And I also know that when we make decisions together, if we make any decisions based on fear as a community, we're already lost. We've already succumbed to it. So when I say dare to lead, are y'all with me? Yes. Are y'all with me? Are you still breathing?
Yes.
Okay. Because I had to preach this morning. I felt it when I was driving in. I thought, oh my God, they don't even know what they're in for. I thought, okay. There's no fear in me. Folks, we are limitless. We are limitless. We have the whole force of God with us and inside us, shining through our eyes, beating through our hearts, exhaling with our breath. God, as close as that next breath you draw, not separate from you ever. How could we ever be afraid? How could we ever be anything less than who we were created to be? How could we? How could we stay in unforgiveness for ourselves and others when the almighty creator not person has said nothing to forgive? Just go on. Be about your brave work. Go with courage. So here's what I'm going to ask you. Where is your growing edge today? Have you got one of these kind of relationships with somebody? Can you see my face? Have you got one of those kind of relationships? Have you been avoiding? You've got to take care of it. Have you got a thing that you want to do in your life and you've been putting it off because not enough time, not enough energy, not enough motivation, not enough courage, not enough conviction? Go do that next thing. You know what it is. What is your heart singing to you right now? And notice I'm not saying what is your heart telling you, because that sounds like your heart's bossing you around. Well, it is. But what is your heart singing to you? There's a next thing for you. There's a next thing. And there will always be a next thing. We better get used to it. Because when we run out of next things, we get to leave. We get to leave the planet. So there's always a next thing. And if you feel like, oh my God, is my spiritual work ever going to be done? No, it's not. It's just going to become so important to you that you can't not do it. You get me? Did you feel me? That's it. So let's take a moment. See, listen to you breathing already. Those nice, slow, even breaths will clear your mind. And all of the words that I've just said will be tucked away in a file cabinet in your mind. So listen to your heart. And if you can't hear it, ask it to sing to you. A heart song is the sweetest thing. Is your heart song like a bird? Is your heart song that of a mighty whale deep in the ocean? Is your heart song a quiet whisper as fine as a mist? Is your heart song a mighty rumble, a thundering in your heart that demands that you listen? Keep breathing, beloved. One of my devotional readings this week was about resting in the divine. So being about your spiritual work isn't always looking like work. It looks like rest. It looks like listening. It feels like an urge that you can't yet identify. And it is your very own. So if you will, with your eyes closed and in this dimly lit room right now, just place your hand on your heart. Both hands, if you can and want to, so that you can cradle that that beautiful space in you. You are blessed, my friends, and you are a blessing. And everything that you do, everything that you are, is beloved by Spirit. It is Spirit. Everything that you need to have to go forth in your life is already present. And so we give thanks to the great Spirit, the great divine, the great unknowable mystery. It moves us forward and sands off our rough edges and gives us room to breathe. And for all this, we are so grateful, and so it is. Amen.